Hello and welcome to the Flex Fox Fantasy Finals Daily Podcast. I am your host, at least for this part of the week, Cam McInnes, and I am joined today by the Staddle Monster himself. Say hi, Ian.
Hi. I might be here more during the week, but we'll see. And we've got a great finals to bring to you. We are recording this Sunday night, so very little has actually happened, just a couple roster moves, but we're going to speculate as much as we possibly can.
Yes, although before we start talking about the finals, we are watching baseball here. And as you know, Ian, baseballs can be signed, and signed baseballs can have value. And if you're looking for a signed baseball with value, Watfo is your source for memorabilia and streetwear. So going into the finals matchup here with the pickups, Jeremiah made two pickups today to start off the matchup, while Chow made none. Jeremiah's pickups were Jesse Hahn, a former starter turned reliever, who is pitching at home against St. Louis for three games, and then has a four-game series again at home against Detroit. What do you think about Hahn, Ian?
Well, he was previously on Ash's team for all of 5 days. I will note this is when Ash was actually successful and before he flamed out in the playoffs, so this could still have some of that amazing season magic going for him. And I think St. Louis's bats are kind of average-ish from what I remember, so could be good there.
Yeah, neither St. Louis nor Detroit is really a great offense, and these games are also at home in Kansas City, which is a very pitcher-friendly park. Jesse Hahn might still screw it up, but at least the situation seems like it'll be successful for him.
Yeah, and it looks like Hahn has had decent rest overall. So yeah, smart pickup by Jeremiah, I'd say. B+.
Jeremiah's other pickup was dropping his first baseman, Jose Marmolejos, a perennial IL member, for Garrett Cooper, who is a surprisingly good hitter most of his career for the Miami Marlins, who will be playing a four-game series at Atlanta, followed by a three-game series in New York against the Yankees.
I know a little bit less about this one. I frankly have no idea if Marmolejos is going to be picked up off waivers or not. He's just not on my radar.
Cooper is better than Marmolejos, but it's just I'm not sure how much he'll play because he's kind of had trouble getting into the lineup, but he is a good hitter when he's in the lineup. So this could also work out well for Jeremiah.
There's no chance Hoskins comes back for him, eh? Doesn't look like it.
I don't think so. So Jeffrey Chow did not pick anyone up, so we can zoom on past this and look at the starts that they have on Monday. So Jeremiah has Adam Wainwright pitching at Kansas City against Jesse Hahn, and Lance McCullers pitching at Seattle, while Chow has Dylan Bundy pitching at home in Los Angeles against the Texas Rangers. What do you think of these starts, Ian?
It seems to me that Wainwright's been inexplicably good this year, and going into Kauffman shouldn't be too bad. I will note that when he pitched against Kansas City on the 25th, before it worked out okay, 5 points, at least it was a positive number. But we'll have to see if he can bring that up in a more pitcher-friendly park.
Yeah, it is worth noting, I guess going forward into the matchup, Wainwright and McCullers should both be starters for Jeremiah. And the same thing with Chow and Dylan Bundy. But with Chow's great pitching rotation, Garrett Cole is his only pitcher on Tuesday, not to spoil the next podcast too much. So he should only have Bundy and Cole as his starters this week. So Jeremiah may have dodged a bit of a bullet there.
We'll have to see. I wouldn't put it past Chow to somehow find a good starter if he needs to off the waiver wire.
I expect him to do some intense streaming towards the end of the week. I don't think his zero pickups today were an accident. I think he's definitely conserving them.
Yeah. I haven't been paying super close attention to Chow's pickup strategy. Has he mostly been using them towards the beginning or end of matchup so far?
I haven't paid attention to the timing of his pickups, but I would say he's generally using them to optimize his pitching. So he's either picking up streamers or picking up bulk relievers that tend to have long outings, like a Tyler Alexander type,
Okay.
in advance of whenever that player is scheduled to pitch, so he can get 3 or 4 innings without using up a start.
Fair enough. I'm also looking at Bundy. I have no idea if his next outing is going to be well. He had an absolutely awful one against Arizona last time, so hopefully this isn't too much of a sign. The last time he had a terrible outing, way back on the 18th, he rebounded with 8.5 point start, so I wouldn't be too concerned if I was Chow, but a little bit.
Speaking of Dylan Bundy, the next thing I want to talk about was some hitters to watch on each of these teams. And going into Monday, I think the hitter to watch on Chow's team is Willie Calhoun, who is a career 3-for-5 against Dylan Bundy with 2 home runs. So that might be a little bit of a double-edged sword. I think you generally want your hitters to hit your pitchers. Because I think you score more points on a batter's home run than you lose when your pitcher gives up a home run. But it's not fun watching your players play against each other.
I think I remember we calculated this, perhaps at a Jays game. Isn't it best to for your batter to reach base on an error and then eventually score?
An error is an out though. I think a hit by pitch is a positive for batters, but it isn't a negative for pitchers. So like a hit by pitch is a like net positive for everybody, but as long as the home run doesn't like destroy your quality start or get your pitcher like immediately taken out of the game prematurely, I think you score the benefit of a home run should be higher than the negative of giving one up. I guess in a perfect world, your pitcher like a bunch of errors happen to load the bases, so your pitcher gives up a grand slam that's mostly unearned. But that may be too far into the weeds for Chow to hope for.
We'll have to see. I would expect Chow to be calculating many, many things, but I would also expect Jeremiah to be looking at that. Any other
Yeah.
important batters?
On Chow's team, arguably intensifying this thing, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa is also a career 4-for-7 against Bundy with a walk, although no home runs. So we'll see who wins between Chow's hitters and Chow's pitching. Moving on to Jeremiah's team, though, Anthony Rendon is our player to watch. He's in that same game as Dylan Bundy, will be hitting against Kyle Gibson, whom he is 4-for-5 against in his career, with 1 home run.
That's a pretty good score overall, and Rendon is just a great hitter in general. Although I'm looking at him right now, and he's had a bit of an up and down. He's of his last 5 appearances, he's posted a negative score 3 times, and the other two were 6.1 and 9.2. So it seems like he's either crushing the ball or striking out a lot. Boom or bust guy.
Perhaps a very flat Kyle Gibson fastball for him to put into the seats is just what he needs to get back in the groove. Martin Maldonado, Jeremiah's catcher, is also 7-for-16 in his career against Marco Gonzalez. He has no home runs, but that's still a .439 average, which is pretty good for a catcher. And 16 at bats is like a reasonably big sample. It's bigger than any of the other ones I've quoted so far.
There you go. Perhaps one of the reasons why Marmolejos was dropped is that it looks like Marmolejos is on Seattle, and that's the team going up against McCullers, right?
Yeah, maybe Jeremiah doesn't want these double-edged sword type scenarios.
It's just too much.
So that wraps it up for anything I have to say about Monday. So I'm good to move on to talking about our predictions for the matchup at large, unless you have anything else you want to add.
No, just should be an interesting final. I believe this is Chow's third final appearance, and he's won the last two. Is that correct?
Yes, he's never lost in the finals. So that's something. And Jeremiah, I believe, has one finals appearance in which he did not win. So I guess we'll see if history will reverse itself. But I guess we'll finally. I wasn't going to ask this if Jeremiah was on here because I didn't want to hear him bet against himself in some weird, fake, humble way. But since he's not here, I will ask you, who do you think is going to win the belt this year?
I want Jeremiah to win it. I feel like Ryan winning last year would transition nicely into Jeremiah winning this year. You know, the new guard, perhaps the annoying guard if we want to be a little less nice about it, moving into the belt holder territory, I think would be good.
I'm both picking Chow to win, and I would like Chow to win. Woburn in our league does not have the same, I'll say, obnoxious culture that the Neil McNeil and St. Mike's guys have, but nonetheless, Woburn does have the most championships, and I want that to continue, because we are truly the class of Scarborough, and Jeremiah is not from Scarborough.
Sounds like another reason for me to support him here.
Fair enough. I think another... The question I wanted to ask Jeremiah, which I suppose I'll ask him tomorrow or whenever he's on, is how many points do you think Jeremiah will need to score to defeat Chow?
For this, I'm just going to look at Chow's last couple weeks. One second while I bring that up.
Chow had a really big week 6 of the regular season, and then a big week 1 of the playoffs where he broke 330 in each of those matchups. But the scores aren't final for this week yet, but it seems like he's settling in closer to like 280 or so, which is the number I was going to roughly say Jeremiah should be aiming for, but I'm curious to see what you think.
Yeah, I would say that Chow's got Garrett Cole going twice and Bundy going twice. So I think it's going to be a little above 280, maybe more like 300-ish. But I think if Jeremiah can put up like 310, he can have a decent confidence interval of a win, something like 70%. You never know, but you can have a goal and stick to it.
Yeah, it's too early to tell. I find when I get down early in a matchup, logically, I feel like it shouldn't really bother you because it's just the end of the week results that matter. But I do feel it's really demoralizing. So I think it's important for both of them to get off to a reasonably good start. Although aside from their starting pitchers tomorrow, I think they'll have a hard time scoring points because both teams have roughly half of their batters not playing. It seems like Monday is an off day for teams that at least weren't affected by COVID.
I'm also looking at Jeremiah's past point total, and it looks like he's got the highest of either team with 341 in matchup 5. But I think Chow's average is noticeably a couple points higher than Jeremiah's. So
yeah, although yeah. Jeremiah was rebuilding or something, and then he wasn't rebuilding. So I think there's a couple weeks where he either like didn't max out his pitching, or he just was trying to like trade for guys like Roberto Osuna is injured, so he's not doing anything this year. But I think there was at some point Jeremiah didn't have him on the IL because he had so many like injured guys he was trying to accumulate. So there may be a couple weeks where Jeremiah, if he had just tried to stream, would have had better numbers. So I wouldn't read too much into that. But I do agree that Chow's average points generally inspire more confidence in me.
Chow's probably the favorite, but I trust Germs to bring this through.
I don't know. I don't know if you can ever really trust Jeremiah, but I guess we'll see.
We'll see.
So that wraps it up for our first daily podcast. I, for one, can't wait for Nick to be back. And I'm sure after you listen to Ian and I do this a couple times, you won't be able to wait for him to come back either.
Hey.
So have a good night, everyone, and good fantasy only to Chow and Jeremiah.